Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio and together partners at Amity Kett.
Today, we're going to be talking about rooms without ceilings, outdoor rooms.
Yeah.
Right, Diane?
Mm-hmm. Being outside and having a space that's right off your house is always so comforting to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of impetus for that. There's a lot of reasons to kind of feel outdoors yet still comforted by the qualities you get from an indoor space.
Mm-hmm.
What are our parameters, our starting parameters for this?
Yeah, so kind of three main things, I think, are you want to establish an enclosure, you want to relate it to the building in some way, and then create a definition of the space.
Right, so there's a lot of ways to do that. Establishing an enclosure.
Right. So you want to kind of establish corners, which can be with columns, low walls, which could be made out of stone or brick or boxwoods, some type of roof, which could be a trellis or canvas or even, I feel like, trees.
Yeah, I think
tree canopy.
If you're not going to build some sort of a structure too, you can use pots. You can put pots out to create corners, planting planters, things like that. Sometimes bamboo in planters that not creeping
yeah,
bamboo.
They create a wonderful
create a
screen wall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because really what we want from that outdoor space is that connection to nature. But sometimes in nature, if you're not creating those corners and rooms and walls, you feel a little too exposed. So it's that indoor feeling, comforting feeling, but also the comforts of being outside that you're trying to create.
The other thing to think about is the flooring material. And so you want it to be kind of ground surface because that helps with that definition of the space more than anything, I think. And you want to think about that material so it wants to relate to the inside of the house and then the outside ground. So I think something like gravel is always awesome. Pavers, stone, different types of stone you could use. You could use brick pavers.
I love brick pavers. I think my favorite is probably to use brick or some sort of terracotta pavers or something mm-hmm. that can be outside so that you can walk on it comfortably, set a table on it without it being wobbly, set a chair on it without it being wobbly. Something that doesn't track, perhaps, in the space.
Right, yeah. Concrete is even good, too, if, you know, sometimes you're pouring the foundation, you'll pour a concrete slab as well out there. And you can score it and stain it and put salt on it to create
finish.
Those little pockets. Mm-hmm. And so there's lots of things you can do to kind of change the surface of the concrete, what
and
it looks like.
If you have that, we recently painted a client's outdoor concrete surface with an outdoor pattern, with an outdoor paint in a pattern. So that sort of brought some comfort and warmth to the way the space looked. And there's also outdoor area rugs and things like that to put on top of the harder surfaces to make it
feel
comfortable.
Oh, yeah. The furnishings are great. So also as far as a covering, you could do an umbrella
mm-hmm.
that then you can direct if there's any harsh sun.
Or those great sailcloths. Or I like that you mentioned trees as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is – so it's interesting. We're creating a little bit of an outdoor space at my studio, and that we're using trees as the walls in one area that's a little bit too exposed to the street. We want it to feel open and connected to the neighborhood, but we also want some dappled light and some views and some – interest. So trees is a great way to go for that.
And it's always, and again, usually you want it kind of directly connected to the building in some way. So
mm-hmm.
the building is maybe acting as one of those walls and
mm-hmm.
you have that connection directly from the house.
So you want
to space.
Potentially anchor your space against a wall, if it,
mm-hmm.
A wall of the actual larger structure, maybe it's an outbuilding or a pool house, but you want some sort of anchor that makes you feel like you have landed in a space. For comfort.
Right.
I have seen clients create outdoor spaces that are too exposed and they don't often go to them and they don't really understand why they're not using it. It's sort of a sad windswept island in the middle of their yard or something. And so if they instead put a water feature or a wall or some furniture or a fire pit, and then create those corners, like you mentioned, then they will go there. It makes it comfortable.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just something about human nature that we want to have that, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, looking at history, there's a lot of houses that would just kind of design an outdoor room within it. I mean, you just think about the Roman house.
Yeah.
They always had the central courtyard space. Throughout all different cultures, there's always kind of an outdoor room, right? I mean, it just is pretty innate.
Little low-walled gardens or I know the Victorians were really into what being outdoors brought to your health,
right,
your mental health, your physical health, taking in the sea air. They would travel to the sea to be outside. And so a lot of Victorian homes would create a porch area or sort of an outbuilding structure, something to go to where you could basically have an outdoor room separate from the house where you could see the birds and enjoy nature and but still feel comfortable and enclosed.
Yeah, there's always like in the English, you think about the English gardens and French gardens, those really, I mean, they always create such great little outdoor rooms.
It's
some of them attached to the house, some of them out in the garden if it's a big, large garden, but they're just always so wonderful.
Yeah, it's sort of spending the day outdoors, but going out there and taking all of your indoor things with you so you can be outside all day but have all the comforts.
Right. Yeah. So there's the garden wall, which is kind of a cool concept of an outdoor room too. And so those can be made with hedges. You could use the part of a building for that, a stone wall. You could even put openings within it. Sometimes you might use like a small trellis that's maybe just cantilevered off. You know, it's not very deep. Or a concrete wall. I mean, depending on the style of the house too, you could do those cool board-formed concrete walls. Or sometimes you can do a plain wall and grow fig ivy up it or some type of local greenery that easily grows up on the wall. And garden walls just also help to just kind of define. We had a house that it was a 1950s cool ranch house, and we redesigned this new gatehouse, which basically became an office for the ranch. And we redirected how you drove up to the house. And then we still kind of created this walking path connection from the house to the gatehouse. And so as you came up, it used to be that you just drove straight on up to the house, went sailing by the gatehouse. So we changed it. So when you drove up to the gatehouse, you made this gentle curve turning, and there were these cool little garden walls that we built out of stone. And then, of course, had a bunch of lovely greenery. But then there was a little sneak through. It was like the walls were just offset. And you could just have this little pass through that then took you on this path back to the house. That was pretty cool. And then you meandered again around and took you through the front of the house. And then you drove up around and then it curved around to the back where you parked. So it became this really nice
experience. It sounds
whole
like.
Whole experience coming in. It slowed you down. It made you stop and think. Or not slow you down and think. And feel the experience of coming in instead of just this rush of, you know.
Yeah, that makes me think
on.
That one thing people don't often think about. They think about it inside, but they don't think about it outside, is what views are you looking at when you pass through that space? So I know the property you're talking about was very beautiful and had a lot of just beautiful angles and different views to look at and different trees. And so, you know, maybe thinking about your outdoor spaces like you do your indoor spaces, where go sit in them and spend some time and see what direction you want to face when you're sitting there. So you have an understanding, you know, in the morning, what type of light is there? In the afternoon, what type of light is there? Seasonally, maybe. Sometimes with exterior rooms, it can take more time to have an understanding of how they're going to feel because they're ever changing seasonally and during the day. And, you know, I've seen really great house layouts that have an opportunity off maybe one side of the master bedroom for coffee in the morning because of the way the sun comes up. And then in the afternoon, switching locations to another outdoor room or patio or screen porch area that has a different view and a different experience with weather at the end of the day. Maybe there's a breeze that you can catch off a porch. Or so planning those spaces takes time and kind of understanding. And then, of course, with these outdoor spaces, they take time to develop and grow literally. because yeah, right. you're planting things. So, you know, sometimes you have to wait a couple seasons for it to really fill in. And the lucky thing there is you can always make changes to those things because they're living plants and you can move walls and kind of – I think that's a real big difference between what we do on inside, the inside of an interior, and then we're doing an outside space. A lot of the concepts are the same, but the evolution makes things change a lot about, you know, that natural factor.
All those things to think about. So an interesting thing is, you know, Frank Lloyd Wright, most of us know about the architect Frank Lloyd Wright. A lot of times he would build these wide terraces, an outdoor room between the living room and the street. So the Broby House is a really good example of that. And so he'd have a masonry terraced wall, so like a garden wall, that was located so the line of sight over the top falls over the lower edge of an elaborate leaded upper glass zone of the terrace doors. So you'd have these beautiful stained glass doors looking out to the terrace, and then there was the garden wall that then was like a three-quarter height, and then drop down to the street. So if you're at the street and you were looking in, you'd kind of only see tops of heads of people if they were standing. If they were sitting, you couldn't see them. And with the leaded glass, you couldn't quite see exactly who that was, but you could know there was a figure there. And so this was kind of like thinking about the sight lines of it and creating these outdoor spaces that then kind of connected you publicly to the street, but then kept it private.
So I'm glad you brought that up because a big part of what goes into building those walls, or maybe if you're building a screen porch or you're thinking about how you're going to use a room, is people don't think they're planning the room sometimes or the space when they're standing up, but they are going to be sitting in the space. So it's a good point to think about what do things look like when you're sitting down. And I've torn out many a screen porch or rebuilt a wall when a client has said, okay, well, we realized after we built this structure that when we were sitting down, we couldn't see the view any longer because we built the wall too high. So people sit pretty low to the ground oftentimes when they're lounging and relaxing. You sit kind of low, maybe 15 inches off the ground is where mm-hmm. your tushy's going to land. And so you want to think where your head's going to fall and what your eyesight's going to bring. And I think that is a wonderful way to either, you know, as Diane's saying, either engage with what's happening on the other side of the wall, or if you want a very private experience, raise the wall a little higher to kind of control your view so that you're only seeing the tops of trees and things. So it's really important to think about these rooms from the eye line that you'll be experiencing them in, sitting, standing, lying down, whatever that is.
Yeah, right. And then another cool thing I want to talk more about is a trellis, because I just love trellises. I have a big English family, and so I just love all the English gardens, and so many of them have trellises. And I think there's been a whole lot more of those lately coming more, at least in our Texas
for
area.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
What's great about them is they can provide such nice quality shade, but then there's still the openings through to the sky, or you can grow a whole bunch of vines on them. And then, you know, in the sun, when you really need the shade, it's there. And then the leaves fall off. And then in the winter, when you're wanting more sunlight to come in, it's there and it's not so hot. So they're really great. And you can build so it's kind of these column structures that then have these, they're
lattice.
Like timbers, mm-hmm. almost like, you know, they can be really big or really small. They can be made out of metal. They could be made out of wood. And then the columns could be made out of a masonry or concrete or wood themselves. And so there's a lot of opportunity for all kinds of different materials you can work with and design on that. So you can get real modern with it or contemporary. You can get real traditional. You can get kind of more old school arts and crafts. You can do such fun things with them. And they can become such a great way to create an outdoor room to give you that covering and sense of space.
So it's interesting you brought up how these things are made, like the materials they're made from, because we talked earlier in the podcast about relating it to the other structures or the house that's mm-hmm. there. And, you know, when you're working on a structure that's older, maybe a 1920s, 30s, 40s house, and then you're building an outside area, you know, are you going to relate those two things as far as the way that they feel and some of the materials? Or are you going to go in a totally different direction and do a very contemporary space attached to – a very contemporary outdoor space attached to an older home? And I think it's a decision to make. It's a thing to think about. And whether it's a clever kind of comment on the fact that you've taken this older property and then upgraded it and made it – and contemporized it with these outdoor spaces, or are you going to take some of the – charm of the original structure and recreate it. We're working with a client now who's in that exact place where they've got kind of a main house and then a kind of a broken down barn on the space and then a shed, a planting shed. And they want to build an outdoor structure and have a courtyard in between. And they're thinking, okay, when the new structure goes in and the courtyard, am I going to take some of that 1920s charm from the house and bring that outside and add it in? Or am I going to go blow this out and go in a totally different direction? So it's interesting. The materials that you choose can really make a statement.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I do think if you're building a new house and you have a trellis, I feel like they materials should definitely relate to the house.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I see your opinion. I agree. I agree. But I think it can be done in a clever way that both honors the existing structures and makes its own statement for the time period, which is rare for me to say because I usually say stay historic all the way through. Or
oh, no. If you were to go, that's mm-hmm. a huge theory mm-hmm. to do. And historic preservation is to be completely different. I was just thinking if you design a new house to kind of make it all cohesive.
Oh, sure. If it's a new house. This is not a new house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so another thing is your connection to the earth. And so that part of that is what you're doing by creating this outdoor room. Like you said, the Victorians would do it for the great health benefits of this nice air, clean, crisp air they're breathing and things like that. So the continuity of surfaces, we were just talking about materials, but surfaces, so like the flooring. And sometimes we'll have the same floor and the inside of the house go all the way through to the outside, which can be really nice, which really makes a continuation of the two spaces. And also relating whatever that outside space is then to the inside space. I mean, I know, Amity, when you do presentations, you're always making sure you look at the collective of everything together and how that's all going to look. So even though you might pick brick pavers for the outside, you're looking at, well, what either wood floor or tile that we might have on the other side and the inside and how that looks together.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, too, to bring up that when you are making that decision about what the flooring material will be outside, if it's the same, that does make a really nice connection for a very easy transition from in to out, which makes you, you know, a lot of times when you're getting ready to go outside, you're thinking about what shoes you're going to wear when you're going to go outside and whether you're changing materials. Whereas when it's the same material running from inside the house to outside of the house, it's such a seamless transition that does make for a really pretty easy look and a way to be outside and inside quickly, kind of going traveling back and forth between the two spaces for different experiences. Maybe if you, especially if you're entertaining and you need to move quickly back between the two spaces, that is a nice thing to do. Maybe a porcelain material.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then another fun thing to always create is the garden seat. And now that doesn't necessarily have to be in an outdoor room, but it could be something you look at in the garden, and it could just be for one person or two people. I actually have one that my grandmother had in her garden. Somehow I was able to inherit that. And I have it in my garden, and it's just kind of nestled in amongst the flowers and plants. And it's funny because, like, especially little kids, when they go in my backyard, they always want to go sit in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's, you know, we're all told by mental health professionals how important it is to be centered and maybe to take some time for yourself during the day, whether it's meditation just a little bit of an escape, a mental escape from the world. What is a better place to do it than in your garden or in nature? And you don't need much space, right, Diane, for that? It doesn't need to be elaborate.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some really cool miniature gardens mm-hmm. you can study up on. I mean, you don't need a lot of space.
Maybe you just need a terrace off of your master bedroom or your upstairs space, too, just an outdoor space that gets you closer to nature, lets you look at the trees, maybe hear the birds.
Yeah, it can be a rooftop terrace.
It can be a rooftop.
Mm-hmm. I have some friends in Dallas that have a really cool rooftop terrace that's really fun to sit on and be on and hang out in. Also, and thinking of the miniature garden thing made me think, we were visiting some friends in Wales, and she has what you call a semi-detached house. Mm-hmm. And in the back, it was so gorgeous. I just wanted to sit there, and it was a small outdoor room, and she had all these gorgeous potted plants and little trees, and the materials of all the surfaces was just so cozy and divine, and she had great seating, and we sat out there the whole time we visited. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think really investing in your outdoor spaces that way and thinking them through and putting plants in the right places and comfortable seating in the right places. We recently put a cover too over our back patio area because the sun was so blazing out there, and just a little bit of cover, the sun can still come through. It's just kind of a screen ceiling. Makes a huge difference. And, you know, the rain still comes through, the wind still comes through. It just took a little bit of that brightness off of the reflectiveness, off of the light. Mm-hmm. And we spend a lot more time out there and have invested in some soft seating out there, some comfortable outdoor seating, a couple of different types of seating to think about too, a table that is maybe dining height so you can have your cup of coffee or your glass of wine or whatever it is out there, put a book down when you're reading, and then more of a loungy types seating where you can put your feet up and kind of look out at the view. And we spend a lot of time with our dogs out there. So it is a really great addition to our home. It makes it feel much bigger. And it's not screened. It's completely open, just has that little covering above. So, and then it does have lovely pavers on the floor.
Of course, yeah. It does.
Yeah. And it makes a really big difference. It was just concrete and we added the pavers, and the concrete was absolutely fine. And, you know, we could have had a indoor-outdoor rug out there if we needed it, but the pavers do make it extra special.
Yeah, I actually do have a trellis off the back of my house, and I use that lovely big 2x4 smooth limestone pavers, which in Texas, they're so amazing, they never get hot. And they're white. It's because they're so porous. And then when it rains, it really does cool them off even more. So it's real easy to just walk around in your bare feet out there and not worry about burning hot feet.
Yeah.
The only thing is sometimes it can grow kind of moss and mold if it gets too much in a shady area, and then I just go out and scrub it with a brush. But
so I think that you bring up how that feels to walk on barefoot, and I'm glad you brought that up because there are also health benefits to going barefoot. I know.
Really?
Yes. And walking, it's the feeling of the texture under your feet. It can be very therapeutic for people, and I think, you know, walking in mud or walking in grass or walking. You wrinkled your nose, Diane. You don't like the idea.
Not so much for the mud. And then grass in Texas is not like the grass in the Northeast.
But for kids, too, it's, you know, it's like it's good for them to kind of experience textures like that. It's good for their system, neurological, et cetera. So that's an important thing to think about, is kind of the feel of the materials and things under your feet. I know it's popular right now to do turf, grass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And boy, that material's come a long way. It's actually attractive, really attractive. It doesn't look as fake as it used to. You know, a lot of the new brands have some patches of, it looks like kind of brown grass, so it looks more natural.
Oh, really?
Within it. Yeah. So it's sort of an outdoor carpet material, and your doggy can go poopy on it, and it rinses right through. And so it's really easy to clean and keep, you know, hosed off. It can be swept. And, so anyway, I'm promoting it because in Texas, we have a lot of beautiful live oaks, and they create a lot of great shade, which we desperately need. And live oaks kill all the grass around them by not allowing any sunlight to come through. So it does create a very muddy yard. So it's something to think about a way to kind of the faux grass to create a green area that is the rain can come right through, is, you know, but it's soft, it feels great under your feet, and it looks good all the time. And if the other option is mud, then it's a good one.
It's very popular, and like you said, for shady areas. I did a house for a landscape architect, and the back was so shady that they just had the AstroTurf. So clearly, the landscape architect puts it in. It's okay, right?
Yeah, I think it is. I think
they're
neat.
Probably the biggest test to that.
It's just come a long way. It feels much more natural than it used to, and it looks much more natural than it used to.
All right. Well, I think we covered everything we wanted to talk about outdoor rooms. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that covers it. And we encourage you to do one of your own, even if you only have a small area.
At least get a garden bench, garden seat.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio, and together, partners at Amity Kett.